Hello there, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Patriots for Thursday, September 27th, 2018. Mark Schofield back in the big chair for our Thursday show that we're going to dedicate to listener questions. And the reason being, well, lo and behold, yet more reasons to be wary and uneasy about the New England Patriots as we sit here on Thursday. Before I dive into all the questions I got, I'm going to try to get to them. I got a ton. Reminder to follow me on Twitter at Mark Schofield. Check out the work at places like InsideThePylon.com, Pro Football Weekly, The Score, Matt Waldman's Rookie Scouting Portfolio, Big Blue View, part of the SB Nation of websites. And look, let's just jump right in. We got bad news yesterday. Rex Burkhead, Juwan Bentley, both placed on injured reserve. Obviously, the Patriots now, they're down two at the running back spot. They lose, you know, Rex Burkhead with injury. They already lost Jeremy Hill to an injury. And now when you lose Juwan Bentley, you know, now you're losing somebody that, you know, kind of we were looking to be an athlete on the second level. We were looking to, you know, be, you know, somebody that can play in the middle of the field to, you know, shore up the athleticism. We thought maybe we were getting something out of Juwan Bentley, and it hasn't quite materialized. And now, look, the Patriots drafted nine players this spring, and six of them are on or on their way to injured reserve. That is some bad luck. Now, the Patriots did make a move. They signed defensive end slash outside linebacker John Simon. He was formerly with the Colts. From Ohio State University, Dan Hope, who covers the Buckeyes, said that, look, you know, the Patriots are getting somebody with incredible work ethic. Nobody's going to work harder than this guy, high character type player, and that's great. But, you know, this defense is hurting right now. You know, Trey Flowers out with a concussion, Patrick Chun out with a concussion. Obviously, we're hopeful to get them back. But this is just the latest sort of kick to the stomach the Patriots fans didn't really want to see, didn't really want to wake up to or see on their Wednesday morning. So that's news right there. I'm going to start with questions now. We're going to start with something I got from my buddy at Captain Huggy Face at CaptainHuggyFace. Is Belichick's winning formula outdated given what we are seeing across the league, i.e. dynamic playmakers on offense, Tyreek Hill, Alvin Kamara, even Jakeem Grant in Miami? Pats could use a guy like Brandon Cooks in their offense. No? Would love to hear your take on the Locked On Patriots podcast. Even, he went on, even take a look at Detroit with Jones and Galladay, Johnson in the backfield. How would the Patriots look with Deion Lewis and Cooks? Can Sony Michel be their Lewis? And, you know, first off, shout out to my boy Captain Huggy Face for the question. And it's a loaded one. And it's an important one. There are reasons to wonder about, as I've been arguing, the new trend, the new offensive paradigm, athletes at all positions, spread guys out, spread the field, try to just make opportunities in the passing game for wide open throws, sort of play it like it's a Big 12 type offense. You do wonder if teams are going to catch up. If defenses are going to catch up, how long it will take defenses to catch up. And you particularly wonder that in the wake of what myself and others were saying over the course of this offseason, needing to get more athletic at the second level, it seems like they just don't have the speed, team-wise right now, on the defensive side of the ball, to counter what we're seeing from so many of these offenses, whether it's Kansas City, whether it's Detroit. As Captain Huggy Face points out, it just seems like they're struggling. It seems like there's a lack of athleticism that is still present. And part of it might be it's early in the season, and they're trying different combinations. They're seeing what they can get from Hightower, who seems to be a step slow. You're seeing what you can get from other guys, whether it's veterans like, you know, Jason McCourty, Jonathan Jones in the secondary. Are they going to have to go to younger guys like Crossan and J.C. Jackson? It seems like they're trying to figure things out here. But it is unnerving to see this offense continually, you know, giving up plays on crossing routes, plays on, you know, things that you have to expect are coming. And then you start to think about, you know, what you're going to see down the road. I mean, I just two nights ago recorded you know, a show with the guys over at Locked On Chiefs. And you can only imagine, you know, what those guys are feeling right now. And that's a team you're going to see, you know, in a couple weeks here. You know, you get, you know, a team like the Packers. You're going to get a team like the Steelers that can do some stuff to spread you out. And so, are they going to be able to match up with teams like that? I don't know. As far as whether the game is like passing Belichick by, I'm not sure. I think it's just the Patriots' defenses right now and last year, they seem to be behind the curve a little bit. They're trying to catch up. You know, they're trying to be more athletic in the second level. You know, maybe some decisions were made in terms of letting guys go, whether it's, you know, Marquise Flowers or others that might have given you that athleticism that could be beneficial right now. I don't know. You know, but it does seem like the Patriots are a step behind on the defensive side of the ball. But to my boy, Captain Huggy Face, you know, huge thanks for the question. Another question from the Locked On Patriots Slack channel, Chuck A. asks, a couple of thoughts, questions. Are Belichick and McDaniels keeping things simple early on as they have new guys that Brady doesn't yet trust? I've always been a bit of a conspiracy theorist in a good way about Belichick and that he keeps the playbook simple early in the season to hide things and build towards the playoffs. Having a lot of offensive turnover and absence makes this more likely in my mind. And I think there could be some truth to that. And you, when you look at what the Patriots are doing from a schematic standpoint, you know, especially in the run game, I mean, there's not a lot of scheme diversity to the run game right now. It's been very predictable, as we've been talking about. You know, in the pass game, I think there's a couple of things at work. There's a lot of new bodies, number one. There's a lot of guys that you may have been counting on that haven't panned out for you, whether it's Kenny Britt, you know, whether it's, you know, not having Julian Edelman for the first four games that he's suspended. And so that factors into it as well. You know, there is a learning curve here. There is a sort of figure it out curve here. And that gets into another question that was asked about Brady's absence. Jim R. in the Patriots Slack channel, Locked On Patriots Slack channel. Does Tom Brady missing so much time in the spring reflect the poor passing stats to begin the season? I'm thinking this group of wide receivers needed as many reps as possible, and it's apparent there are communication issues. I think there's something to that, and we may have seen it on that play I broke down at the Tape Tuesday show, the intentional grounding play, where it seemed like Patterson was confused, pre-snap, seemed like he might have run the wrong route. You know, it's an issue. And so, you know, I think there might be a bit of a smaller playbook right now because they're trying to figure things out with the guys that they have. And we'll see what this team looks like, you know, in week five. You know, when you get Edelman back, maybe you finally get Gordon in the mix, who admittedly was not somebody you were planning on counting on in preseason when you were doing all this install stuff. As for Brady's absence, it's possible. You know, I wish I had a more definitive and clearer answer on that, but it's possible that without the extra time gelling with these guys, they're not there yet. You know, it's clear that they're not there yet. You know, but at the same time, there were guys that would have been in camp, your Riley McCarron's, your Braxton Berrios's, your Kenny Britt's, you know, that aren't part of this team. You know, so how beneficial would it have been Brady to be spending more time throwing to those guys, guys that aren't here right now? And so I think there's, you know, two sides to that sort of coin here. Would it have been good to get Brady some more work sitting here right now? I think so. You know, but who would he have been throwing to? And that's also something to consider. But those are some questions out of the gate. We got more, believe me, a loaded set of questions here. Locked On Patriots for your Thursday show. Reminder, if you want to be part of that Slack channel, I know there are some people that hit me up. I know I owe some invites out there. But if you'd also like one, let me know at Mark Schofield on Twitter, mark.schofield at insidethepylon.com for your invite. Up next, we're going to talk third downs. We're going to talk Dolphins a little bit later. We're going to do some fantasy stuff. And I got a question from my boy Richard Schrager that, as much as I don't want to answer it, I'm going to because I thought it was funny. That's ahead on this Thursday installment of Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now on this Listener Thursday installment of Locked On Patriots here. And a couple questions now from Truck on Twitter. He is at YIRT. Give him a follow. First question, why do we struggle so much on third downs? And when I first got this tweet sent to me, I thought that I should ask for clarification. Did you mean offense? Did you mean defense? And then it hit me. I don't need clarification on it. They're bad on third downs right now. I mean, look, go back to week two. Against Jacksonville, Patriots, they convert only 4 of 14 third downs. in that game and that loss to, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then on the flip side, Jacksonville, they convert, you know, I think it was 10 of 14, 12 of 14, one or the other. You know, so they clearly struggled in that game, you know, on third downs. And then when you look against the Detroit Lions, you know, on last Sunday night, another situation where the Patriots struggled on third downs. You know, for the Patriots, they had 9 third down opportunities in that game. They converted 2, and they also missed on a fourth down. Lions, they had 14 third down opportunities. They converted 7 of them. Now, those are not good numbers. Let's start with the offensive side of the ball, and I think we can all at least agree on the culprit when it comes to the pass game. If you're a defense, you get 3rd and 7 against New England Patriots right now, you double Gronkowski, or if you don't fully come out and double him, because I know we were talking about it in the Locked On Patriots Slack channel, and they've only double-covered Gronkowski teams have like 25% of the time this year. But there are double coverages, and then there are like bracket-type things where you've at least got defined safety help or defined help somewhere. And so you can get two guys, in a sense, on Gronkowski, and then who else is going to beat you? Who else do you trust to win a one-on-one route right now on this Patriots offense? Nobody. And so I think that's a problem with the pass game. When it comes to the run game, it's an execution problem, and it's the numbers and predictability problem that we've already talked about. We've talked about both of these issues so far this week. Just again to rehash them, look, the Patriots are predictable in the sense that if Sony Michel is in the game, he's getting the ball. In all likelihood, he is getting the football. And, you know, that's the first part. The second part is, for example, against Detroit, 15 runs, 14 of them had him lined up as the single back with Brady under center. So there's that. And then there's an execution standpoint, whether it's Shaq Mason getting blown up on a third down, you know, Dwayne Allen missing some blocks on third downs. They failed to execute in the blocking when it comes to running the football, especially on third downs. And so it's all bad. You know, you can't, you know, convert third downs because you can't get guys separation in the pass game. You can't execute in the run game. You know, it's bad. And then on the defensive side of the ball, again, it's the some of the stuff that we've been talking about. And I worked up a piece yesterday that's coming out, I believe, today for the Score about some of the X's and O's matchups and stuff I'm looking at for this weekend's slate of games. And I'm looking at, you know, can Miami run these crossers against, you know, New England? And ask yourself that question. You know, is there any reason that you would have confidence that the Patriots will have figured out how to defend crossers against a team that loves and thrives on throwing crossing routes? I'm not confident right now. You know, and it starts with up front. They can't get pressure with 4. And then so they blitz. And then, you know, you got guys that can't cover them on a consistent basis other than Stephon Gilmore. And even Gilmore got beat on a crossing route, albeit on sort of a look to be, you know, a non-blitz situation, just playing man coverage behind it. But still, it starts with the inability to get pressure with 4. And even when they don't blitz and just rush 4 and drop into zone coverage instead, since there's no pressure, quarterbacks, whether it's Bortles or Stafford or whomever, me, my cat, they just got all day to wait to find the right moment to throw that crossing route against the underneath zone coverage. And then you're like, well, you know, we can't play zone because we can't get pressure, so we might as well go blitz and man, and then you don't have the athletes to cover. And so it's just a cavalcade of bad right now. I was looking for another C word. I couldn't quite come up with it. And so, you know, since I do most of these shows in just one take straight through, you know, I don't want to go back and edit. So I just rolled with cavalcade of bad. Other question from Truck at YIRT on Twitter. Are the Dolphins for real? If they lose, is it the end? Well, that's a two-part question. First part, I will say the Dolphins look to me to be real right now. You heard the show yesterday, Travis Winfield from Locked On Fins. You know, I was on his show as well. You know, Ryan Tannehill is playing extremely well right now. I think Travis's point that the offensive system under Adam Gase, it fits well with what Tannehill can do. They're getting contributions from a number of different skill position players, from Danny Amendola to Jakeem Grant. You know, you're getting Mike Gesicki worked into the mix, a guy that I liked a lot. You know, Kenny Stills is doing a lot for them. Albert Wilson is doing a lot for them. So they're getting contribution on the offensive side of the ball from a bunch of different people. Defensively, a bit of a work in progress. You know, there is an opportunity for New England to make some hay against this linebacker group. I was a bit more excited until I talked to Travis about those linebackers. It seems like they're struggling a bit. Kiko Alonso is struggling a bit. You know, Raekwon McMillan, you know, he's trying to come back after the injury he suffered last year, but, you know, not anywhere where you might expect him to be given the time that he missed. You know, and Jerome Baker, a third-round pick for them, another rookie. So you've got some young linebackers there that are still trying to figure it out. So as Travis said, there are opportunities for the Patriots throwing against those guys. Now, losing Burkhead, that hurts. You know, so we're going to see a lot of Michelle. We're going to see a lot of White. I'm going to see them be factors in the pass game, I think. You know, maybe if there are situations where they can try to get a matchup with Gronkowski and one of those guys, whether it's McMillan or Baker, I think they'd have to try to take advantage of those moments and hit in those moments. You know, it's one thing to create the opportunity. It's another thing to take advantage of it. And they're going to need to do both, create the opportunities and take advantage of those. But the Dolphins are for real, you know. And, yeah, you know, they beat the Jets and, you know, they're coming off a win against Oakland, who seems to be struggling. And, you know, they won a game against the Titans, who are 2-1. But it's a flimsy 2-1, I'd say. You know, Tennessee's kind of gotten their two wins with a little bit of smoke and mirrors with Houston and Jacksonville, a team whose number, you know, Tennessee seems to have. You know, but the Dolphins, I think, are legit. Now, if New England drops to 1-3, is it the end? I don't think it's the end. I wouldn't go that far. But you're looking at a three-game hole in the division. And when you look around the AFC right now, can you be convinced that, you know, after a 1-3 start, you're going to make a run and get to the playoffs, perhaps as a wild card team? I mean, it's very early, you know, but you've got a number of 2-1 teams, you know, some of whom we expect to be 3-1, and you're looking at 1-3, you know, you're now like a two-game hole in the wild card standings alone. So I wouldn't say it's the end, but it, you know, what's the expression? It's not over until the oversized lady sings. You know, she's not sinning yet if you lose this game, but she's at least in the dressing room, got herself like powdered, sipping some tea, and she's getting ready. She's not even warming up yet, I'd say, but she's getting ready. You know, so this is a big game. And it's stunning to think that, look, New England could be in a three-game hole in the AFC East come Sunday night. It's just stunning to think that, but here we are. Up next, a couple more questions to close things out on this Thursday installment of Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now to close out this Thursday installment of Locked On Patriots. And we're going to take a question here from Jack over in the UK at J-A-C-K-D-U-F-F-I. And he is one of the hosts of Browns in the UK, a podcast I was kind enough, they were kind enough to ask me on. I talked about them in yesterday's show. Again, check them out. You can follow Jack on Twitter at J-A-C-K-D-U-F-F-I-N and his co-host at PaulBrown_UK. Jack's asking stuff about Sony Michel, Julian Edelman, and Chris Hogan from a fantasy perspective. And let me say this. With respect to, you know, Sony Michel and Julian Edelman, I'm buying on them right now. You know, I think with this Burkhead injury now, you're going to see even more of Sony Michel. I think with Edelman coming back, the Patriots desperately need Edelman's skill set in this offense. And so with those two guys, I'm buying. With Hogan, I'm selling. I'm, you know, the take of the game last week from Dave Archibald in the aftermath of the debacle in Detroit was, you know, how they need to rename him the post office because he's never open. I think it's apt. He is struggling to get separation. Maybe that changes with Edelman back. Maybe that changes if they get Gordon into the mix. Maybe that forces teams to play more cover two stuff. So you might get some opportunities for him. You know, he might see some different coverage looks. They might be able to free up some space for him. But right now he's struggling to get consistent separation. And you can't be an effective NFL player, NFL wide receiver, if you can't do that. You can't be an effective fantasy asset if you struggle to get separation as a wide receiver. And so that's how I'm looking at those guys right now. Michelle and Edelman, I'm in on. Hogan, I'm not. I'm just going to pause the brakes on Chris Hogan as a fantasy asset right now. He's not somebody I would truly count on. Finally, I'm going to close this out with a little bit of humor from my good buddy Richard Schrager at RSSCHRAGER on Twitter. Yeah, I get that right. RSSCHRAGER. He asks me, when the Patriots lose again, will Belichick join Toto when he's fired after the next loss? Now, as I've said before on this show, my friend Richard is a Giants fan. He always uses any chance he can to stick the needle in, remind me of those two Super Bowls. But I will sooner be joining Toto than Bill Belichick. I'm pretty sure that if and when Belichick decides to leave as the head coach of the New England Patriots, he will either go coach lacrosse at Wesleyan University, our alma mater, or just retire to Nantucket and raise his dog, whom he seems to adore. But I don't see Bill Belichick joining Toto anytime soon. So, friends, how are we feeling right now? Probably not pretty good. Look, it's been a long week. It's been a long week, both from a Patriots perspective and just from a global perspective. It has been a long week. This weekend can't get here fast enough. This game on Sunday cannot get here fast enough. We all need to see this team bounce back. We all need to see this team have a win. And thankfully, hopefully, we can get one. But if they don't, well, I was going to use the usual music to send us out. But given how I think we all sort of feel right now, I think it's better if we introduce a new song from Adele, the theme from Skyfall, because that's how it kind of felt Wednesday when all of this was going down with Burkhead, with Bentley coming off the loss. It does seem a little bit like the sky has fallen. Hopefully the Patriots can stave that off on Sunday, but if not, the Skyfall will be truly upon us. I will be back tomorrow for your game day edition of Locked On Patriots, getting you ready for Sunday, doing some tape stuff on the Dolphins. Until then, stay strong, everybody, and keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.
This is the end. Hold your breath and count to 10. Feel the earth move and then hear my heart burst again. For this is the end. I've drowned and dreamt this moment.